When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Who are these podcasts? They do a show about shows. It's hilarious. The show's hilarious.
It's showtime.
W-A-T-P.
W-A-T-P.
Joe, a little more energy here. W-A-T-P.
W-A-T-P.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Who Are These Podcasts, the only show that doesn't understand why jokes that are purposely unfunny are ironically funny. I'm your host, Carl. With me this week is Andy's brother, Joe.
Hey, good to be back, Carl. All my fans have been wondering where I've been.
That's so. The only tweets we get is, where's Joe?
I'm glad to be
over
back.
Over and over
Bring
again.
All the charisma back to the show.
I'd like to remind our listeners that you can visit us at whoarethese.com. Leave us a voicemail, 585-612-1388. Email the show, watpshow@gmail.com. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes and then shit on us in the comments section. We have a lot of new reviews to go over.
We have
a lot of backlash from the Hollywood Handbook.
Really?
Podcast
People
that we have
like
to go
show?
Through. Yeah.
Dude,
the fans of Hollywood Handbook
brutal.
Are not fans of ours. So we'll be going over all of that. But before that, we'll be reviewing a podcast called Congratulations with Chris D'Elia.
Speaking of backlash.
This was a suggestion that came in from a listener named GY. Joe and I have both listened to the show separately. We have not discussed it with each other beforehand, even though we wanted to.
Yeah.
We wanted to get into it. Now's the time. We've held off long enough. So this is a podcast with a stand-up comedian, very well known, starred in sitcoms. He's a celebrity.
Yeah.
And he sits in front of a camera and does the show by himself.
Did you watch it on video, or did you just watch the pod, or listen to the pod?
I started watching on video last week when we picked this show, but for the purpose of actually listening to the show and pulling clips, I just listened to it.
Yeah, I listened to it just because I was working, so I just listened to it. But then I was like, I got to go back and I watched a little bit of a different episode because I'm like, I got to figure out what's actually occurring here.
What did you figure out? What is occurring here?
He's putting in the most minimal effort. They threw him in a corner and on a single camera, and it's just you're looking at him for an hour. I don't get it.
He has a mobile app that you can download.
Yeah,
to watch it live.
Yeah, I didn't understand.
Just watch
that
my
either.
Show live,
right?
Because there's a mobile app. The problem with him having a live show, is that there's a ton of dead air.
Yeah.
It's garbage.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Let me play you the clip that sums up the show for me.
Yeah.
This is a little ways into the show. He's coming back from a bed of live reads.
Mm-hmm.
He does like 3 or 4 commercials in a row. And now he's going to come back into his show. And just for the purpose of today's podcast, Joe, I'm just going to hold my finger up.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm holding my finger up, it means it's still going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know.
So don't start talking.
Yeah.
There's so much dead air, it's hard to tell.
Right.
That it's still going.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen to this clip.
I just think, I just think that you gotta figure out the way you figured out. It's all right, dude. Who cares? It's my fucking computer. I'll get an email. It reminds me of the bit I did on my fucking new special coming out. I wonder what I'm going to call it. I don't know what I'm going to call it yet on Netflix. They want me to fucking title it. Oh, man. Loving it, loving it, loving it, loving it.
What is this garbage? How do they have a podcast? This is bullshit.
Yes, Bonnie, you are 100% correct.
All right. I mean, well, I know that clip overlap, you know, is always a problem, but I think like we will address similar topics.
I agree.
For my summary of the show, I said sometimes the end of the show can, you know, just do is everything, you know. So the end is the summary of the show. Put a bullet in it is my clip one.
I don't know, but that's it, man. I don't really have too much fucking other shit to talk about. I guess that's about it. Is this up? Are we ready to do these?
I'm glad you pulled that clip. I didn't, because at that point, I was so bored with the fucking dead air and nothingness. I'm like, I got enough. I have enough examples.
It sums it up. I mean, it really sums up the whole show, really.
Well, let me play for you. He starts talking about Family Guy. And I do want to say this. I want to say this early and often. Doing a show by yourself is hard.
I don't get it. I don't know.
I wouldn't do it.
I don't know. Okay. Can we back up just a little bit?
I don't know. Did we go forward yet? Where are we backing up?
Yeah, there? I know. But I want to set it up just a little bit.
Okay.
So I guess for people who don't know who Chris D'Elia is.
Oh, okay.
Right? So we have to go back just a little bit.
They know WATP, but they don't know Chris D'Elia. I like the way you think, Joe.
Maybe. Chris D'Elia is an actor, comedian, and a podcaster.
And he's two of those things.
So I liked him. You guys mentioned Whitney, which is where I first saw him.
That's where I first saw him.
I watched Whitney with my wife. I liked it.
Okay.
Undateable. It was another show that he was on. Mm-hmm. The thing that I liked about Undateable, and I don't think that Chris D'Elia is the one I would give credit to this, but they made a very conscious effort to do live shows and went out of their way to make sure you knew it was live.
I read that on their wiki page that they switched to doing live shows. I don't watch any primetime television. Yeah, yeah. I don't know how you do.
I watch it on Hulu.
But I mean, that's not the point.
Yeah,
I don't know how you watch sitcoms.
But
it's fucking garbage. It's for middle America.
But so
it's for dummies.
It was very interesting, at least this live thing. They would do flashback.
And then somebody would have to run
into another part of the studio and then come running back in. And at least there was effort.
Mm-hmm.
There was effort there. And I respected the effort.
Okay. I understand that.
I watched both of his Netflix specials in preparation.
Good.
For this.
You did. I was telling my friend last night, Joe will do more prep for this show than I will. And I think you're the only host that comes on more prepared than I am. I've never seen this guy tell a joke on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
I am a huge fan of stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. I go see comedians all the time. Mm-hmm. I have no interest in this guy. I've never seen him tell a joke.
Right.
Is he a funny stand-up comedian?
It is... It's not my cup of tea specifically. And what I was very conscious of doing here is I did not want to come on here and be like, he's not funny.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I didn't want to do anything of that.
I assume he's a good stand-up. I'm assuming that because he's very famous.
What it is he's a fast talker. It's reminiscent of Robin Williams, who I also was not a huge fan of, but it's very manic and high energy. Okay. Reminds me of Dane Cook. Reminds me of Robin Williams.
Man, the unfunniness is just multiplying. He does
a lot of kind of these stances and voices and stuff. And so also reminding me a little of George Carlin. But
all right, Joe, I know this is the Joe show and I apologize that I'm co-hosting with you this
week.
But I want to get into this thing where you start talking about Family Guy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because you cut me off to talk about you watching Netflix.
Okay.
I need to back up your backup.
I want you to know that I'm not coming on here to just crush him.
Nobody is. That's not the goal of WATP.
Right. I don't hate Chris D'Elia.
I don't either.
Yeah.
His podcast is garbage, though.
Mm-hmm.
He starts talking about Family Guy, and he sets this up.
Dude, I was watching Family Guy the other night. It's so funny. Family Guy's the funniest show on TV. I thought it was maybe Alone Together. That show's so fucking funny. But dude, Family Guy is so funny, man.
Nope.
Okay, so he sets this up. He says Family Guy is the funniest show on TV, and a lot of people like Family Guy, myself included. You think he's going to talk about? They did this bit where Stewie said to Brian, you think he's going to get into why it's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
So this is him elaborating on Family Guy being so funny.
The jokes that they have, it's like, dangada, 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 dangada. They never stop joking, dude.
Okay. All right. Well, I've seen Family Guy. I've seen a lot of episodes. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
What is it specifically about Family Guy that's so funny, Chris? Can you help us out here? Mm-hmm. Let us know why you like this show so much.
Family Guy, dude. God, I watched this episode. Fucking, it's so funny. When Peter Griffin is the funniest character on TV and in history, dude. His stupid laugh and his fucking... I can't... Dude, I have the worst memory of all time. I have the worst memory of all time. I forget what I'm talking about when I'm talking about. We're going to get on this fucking podcast, though, dude. We're going to get on this podcast.
That was his wrap-up on the Family Guy saga. The character on there is really funny. I really enjoy that show. That's not a podcast. This is my problem with this podcast. He sets up these premises that never pay off. There's no punchlines. Mm-hmm. Nothing ever pays off on this show. He just brings shit up that no one can relate to, is uninteresting, and then it doesn't go anywhere with it.
Yeah, you knocked out two of my clips.
Sorry.
On that. No, no, it's fine. But, like, the dead air there is crazy. So the other thing that is brought up here, he said, "Funny Family Guy is the funniest show on TV. Yeah. I thought it was Alone Together."
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, Alone Together, never heard of it.
I don't know.
Funniest show
either.
On TV?
Yeah, right.
I'll go find it. Okay. I watched the first two episodes
Holy
of Alone Together.
Holy shit, Joe. He said it. He said one thing, and you've watched episodes of this. Your prep is amazing.
Well, if you say it's the funniest show on TV, I want to find out.
Right.
And by the way, Rick and Morty is the funniest show on TV.
Correct. I want
but,
to point out,
so,
I wasn't going to get into this yet, Joe.
Hang on, Carl. Let me finish what I was saying, though. Alone Together, 10 minutes in. Who's on Alone Together?
Chris D'Elia?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So it's just a self-plug.
That's all this is.
So he's just plugging himself. That's
his
hilarious.
His podcast is all a money grab for advertising, plugging his tours.
Hold on. I know. You got a lot to say. There's a review that came in on August 29th from Craig K. I'm going to get into the reviews later, but you saying this just triggered me. Unfunny, one star, and then he writes, lazy, too. Lazy? Joe is fucking watching a shitty sitcom just because this guy brought it up real quick during his show. You tell me that's fucking lazy? I mean, we're not Joe Rogan, but give us some credit on that front.
I'm doing my research.
You are, man. You are putting in the prep. I love it.
Let's just run through my two through five.
Okay.
They're quick, I think.
A lot of times I like slamming people online if they say negative stuff about me. You know, I'll search my name even, not just the tags, and I'll slam them back because I have a great day doing it because it's fun for me.
Okay, hang on one second. Mm-hmm. You've taken your fair share of shit doing this podcast, so I don't think that you're unaware that people might be trying to set us up for essentially an attack. I'm going to set Carl up to get in a Twitter war with... Chris D'Elia, you know, so he is kind of like notoriously a lot of what I've seen. He's just like, I love doing that. I love going on Twitter, searching myself and then attacking the people that attacked me.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Fucking idiots out there. I don't know why tattletales get off on this thing. There's some
I
guy
think find it anyway.
There's some guy or gal in our hometown of Rochester who's sending clips to Brother Weeze and getting him all pissed off at me. It's like, did you know what this guy was saying about you, Weeze? Like, nobody would have known about this. And now I'm supposed to go on a show with Weeze and debate him about shit?
Don't,
like,
don't bother.
Why is everyone a tattletale?
Just wait him out. He'll
just
kick.
Enjoy the show. Yeah, it's true. I can
anyway,
that.
So I think this is somebody's attempt to fucking set us up, but who gives a fuck anyway?
Fair enough.
Because, you know, because play three.
The only thing I stand for is, like, say what you want in a funny way. And, like, don't be offended. Mm-hmm. If you're offended, then that's your problem.
All right. I'm down with that. I agree.
Okay. Four sounds like our mission statement.
I complain in a funny way. That's what I do.
Correct.
And then five I agreed with.
But all I want to do is fucking laugh, man. All I want to do is laugh.
Okay.
So I liked all that. So all of that to just be like, he's saying a lot of things that I agree with here. And then... So we kind of talked about, I said, like, Robin Williams and things like that to me. This is, six is...
You're, like, reading through your notes. You go, oh, see, I said Robin Williams, I mentioned this.
I came prepared, Carl.
Yes, you did.
So six to me sums, if you don't know, if you've never seen his stand-up, like you haven't.
I haven't.
And if you're unfamiliar, six epitomizes who he is, in my opinion.
Dude, when they bring Cholula or Tapatio, even though you ask... for fucking Tabasco, and they bring Tapatio. Dude, that's bullshit.
tapatillo. I don't want fucking tapatillo because I asked for, what do you call it? The fucking Tabasco, dude.
Is that what his stand-up is like?
That over-enunciation on the words, that repetitiveness.
That's what's
funny. Like, very repetitive. He's just like, I'm going to wear this shit out. I'm going to wear it out till you're sick of it, and then I'm going to wear it out until it's funny again. Or that's the idea.
No wonder he likes Family Guy.
Yeah. And you know what? Sometimes it works. You know, I've actually been, like, humming a little, like, some of his bits and shit. Like, he has this thing on Cubans at one point that I found funny.
Well, you are a racist. I can see why you would enjoy that.
Well,
I have to say, before we get off of that Tabasco thing, Tabasco sauce is the world's worst hot sauce. It's red-colored vinegar.
Yeah.
It's not hot sauce. Mm. There's nothing hot about it. There's nothing flavorful about it. It's fucking garbage. And this guy goes up in this rant talking about one of my favorite hot sauces, Cholula.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not, these people bring me Cholula. I want Tabasco. Then you're an asshole. You're the idiot.
Can I admit something to you,
scenario.
Carl?
Oh, no.
So your wedding, you gave away Cholula?
I did.
I filled my fucking pockets with Cholula. Was there any
good.
Left? Was there any left?
No! That was our wedding favor, was Cholula sauce.
I got whiskey drunk, filled my pockets with Cholula, and went home and fell down the stairs.
I did the same thing after my wedding, so that's good. Yeah, I didn't understand that whole rant that he goes on.
I understand you want what you want and don't bring me something else. I understand that.
Can I talk about the fact that this guy, I call this track Hot Takes. Because what this guy does is he sets up things. This is like Chris D'Elia's Hot Takes.
Yeah.
He sets up all these things that no one can relate to and has zero payoff.
Well, he's going through his phone, right?
Is that what he's doing?
I didn't watch the video things.
But it didn't seem like he had any notes.
I swear he's like... you know what he's doing?
What is he doing?
He's doing another hour, Carl.
Ah, exactly!
This is all
It's just
him.
Nothing. It's just nothing.
I feel like this is setups to, like, future bits, and maybe it'll
Correct.
Work, and maybe it won't.
That's what it seems like to me. It sounds like he's coming up with the premises that will one day maybe get into his act,
right.
But he has no payoff for them
right.
yet. So this is a compilation I put together of just the randomness of Chris D'Elia's Hot Takes.
I like Tabasco sauce, dude. But, dude, Family Guy... is so funny, man. You know what I was thinking about, actually? You know who would win the fucking presidency if he ran? Is Joe Rogan. Dude, you know what movie I never want to go see? Any movie that where there's too much brown in it. I feel like color really took off in like the fucking 60s. Oh man, I knew a guy that looked like Beethoven once, and it was fucking all I could think of. Michael Douglas looks so much like my grandma Carmela in that fucking movie. It's unreal, dude. I don't like basketball. I don't like anything for me that distracts me from being myself, right? We all want what we want, but we don't want what we don't want, dude. This is the shit I think about all day. All day. I'll spend fucking 20 minutes thinking about how I could get a grandma in a Vin Diesel movie and have Vin Diesel not be in it. All day, bro.
That's the podcast in a nutshell.
Well, yeah.
I'm sorry.
I mean, that's pretty much every topic in the show.
I know I picked up on a lot of things. We can go back
and revisit those. You skip Lil Wayne.
Yeah, we can go back and revisit some of those things.
Yeah.
But I just had to put together that compilation because that's what the show is. It's just random thoughts.
Premise.
It would be nice.
And unfulfilled. Like, not fleshed out.
Right.
Yeah.
And I want to point out that doing a show by yourself, very difficult. I don't recommend it.
No.
You know who can do it? Bill Burr. Mm. This guy sounds like Bill Burr without the Boston accent. He kind of has the same cadence to the way he goes. The difference is Bill Burr has payoffs. I have a quick example. Mm-hmm. This is from a recent Bill Burr show. He just gets off on this thing about getting married multiple times. He does a quick Google search on the fly and finds out who's been married the most and just starts riffing on it.
American grandmother Linda Wolf has become the most married woman in the world. I'm surprised she's not a great-grandmother. All that cock going into her, huh? After walking down the aisle 23 times and is now on the lookout for number 24, Mrs. Wolf, 68, is included in the Guinness Book of World Records for the dubious honor of being wed more times than anyone else alive. She must be the first time you're like, hey, could you not put your shoes here? You know what? Go fuck yourself. I'm out of here. It's over.
Are you listening, Crystalia? That's how you pay something off. You're talking about it, and then, like, here's the joke.
Here's a great set. My seven is a great setup.
Okay.
Oh, man, my aunt told me the funniest fucking story.
No way. There's no way that happened.
There's no way that happened. Because I haven't heard a single funny story. Is that the boner story?
Yes.
Can I play that? This is him cracking himself up. It's not funny, but he has to do this fake laugh on it.
Like I said, though, I don't want to say that it's not funny.
No, this is not funny.
Some asshole thinks it's funny.
Oh, I'm sure. Some asshole thinks Hollywood Handbook is funny. There's assholes who think that's a sweet ween hat.
Yeah.
I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, subtle.
Well done. So this is him talking about he's hanging out with this when he was a kid with his friend or something, and this his cousin maybe is younger than him. On the TV show, they use the word boner. He's like, Mom, what does boner mean? That's the setup.
She said he walked through the kitchen and was like, well, Mom, all the blood's rushing to my penis. Blood's rushing to my penis, Mom. Oh, fuck. Dude, she told me this story. We were crying. I don't know how we didn't hear that story. Blood's rushing to my penis, Mom. How funny is that, dude? Just little kids. All the blood's rushing to my penis.
I would say it's not funny at all.
Those voices.
I didn't get a single chuckle from that story, even though he repeated the punchline 8 times.
Yep.
So that makes sense. That's what you're saying. That's what he does. Mm-hmm. He'll say something that's kind of funny. He'll say it 8 more times. It's supposed to get funnier.
Well, there's what? I mean, there's people who will do where they're like, this is the bit. We're going to do this bit. Whether it's a success or a failure, we've got 4 hours to fill. We're going to do the bit.
Right.
And even if it's failing, we're going to do it. And I feel like, I'm like, this show does not have to be an hour.
Maybe it does because he has a lot of commercials in there.
Is that, so I think there are, because he does
whatever garbage
commercials at the beginning,
yeah.
Commercials a half hour in, and then a commercials at the end, and commercials at the end of the hour. I believe from listening to a lot of podcasts, yeah. It's like you can't do a commercial read for X amount of time before the next read. Or something like that.
I don't
think
that's the case.
I don't know.
It's all promo codes and shit. They just make money if people buy stuff.
Well, right. So I don't know why, but it's like this could benefit. Okay, let's jump to my 15 real quick. Here's why he won't let anybody help him or tell him what to do on the show. One Fire is like the guy recording the show or something.
Like, oh, I didn't somebody pick in the background. Up on that. Okay.
There's some dude there, and yeah. This happens.
They never stop joking, dude. What are you doing? It's fine. What? You hear what? An echo? Oh, God. Such a fucking... This chair is making noise like a fucking... An X-Men. Sonar. One Fire is like, this chair is making noise. I can tell this chair is making noise. Worst X-Men ever dropped out of fucking Professor Xavier's school. Just like Professor Xavier's like, we don't really have much use for you. You just can hear chairs. He's like, I can hear yours. It moves.
Boo!
Yeah, who cares, man? Nobody's going to be able to tell at home that the chairs
are echoing. Be more funny!
So what was I talking about? Fucking, what was I talking about before you start moving chairs around, dude? One Fire, the dog threw up. You're moving the chair, dude. I'm trying to get on shit, and I keep having to switch shit because he's just moving chairs around like a fucking lunatic.
The one thing you and I talked about before we started recording, everything on the show was clippable. It's all garbage.
The guy's just trying to help you.
That was right? The stuff I clipped around to get to the Family Guy thing. Yeah. I took all that out. All
right.
And you put that in. It's totally clippable.
Yeah.
That should not be on a podcast.
No. Take it out. The poor guy is just trying to be like, hey, there's weird noises.
Yeah.
Hey, let me help you. And you know what? This is the reason why he doesn't go, You know, maybe if we did this, you know, maybe here, maybe a billion things that could improve this would help. Because Chris D'Elia is just going to be like, ooh, you're a fucking dumbass, you know, like whatever.
But not even in a funny way.
No.
If you complain in a funny way, I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it just is not fun or funny in any.
What I'm saying is let him help you, Chris. Let him help you. Also, play number 9. No ice policy. Here's a compilation of all the ice jingling.
That's amazing. That's well done, Joe. Props to you.
Don't do it.
There is a ton of ice and drinking.
Don't do it.
Going on. And while you're putting together comps, I have one. Did you notice a certain crutch word that he has besides you know and
is it
like?
Dude.
It's dude. I called this compilation 69 dudes.
Dude.
69 dudes in this fucking podcast.
I can't believe you.
Dudes.
But it doesn't end there, Joe. It never ends there.
Dude.
This show is just all dudes. All the time.
It is so.
And then
dude
he
heavy.
Says the douchiest thing near the end that made me so uncomfortable.
Somebody was like saying they didn't like my comedy because I was a fucking bro, which is actually prejudice. Because I'm so not a bro. If you know anything about me, like I'm so not a bro. I'm not a frat guy. I'm not, I mean, you guys all know this because you listen to me and you support me and I fucking love you for it. But like an idiot would see me and be like, oh, that's fucking bro. He's a bro. I'm not. They're just saying that. They're being prejudiced because I'm a tall, fucking long-haired, broad-shouldered motherfucker. Right? Okay?
Ugh. We get it. You're woke. You're a feminist. We get it. You're not a bro. Meanwhile, you're saying dude and bro nonstop throughout your fucking show. I can see why someone would get that impression.
I just don't know. Because, like I said, I watched him interviewed on Your Mom's House about the Twitter war that he got in. And he's like
Did we talk about that? Watched him interviewed on Your Mom's House?
I think we talked about it beforehand.
Yeah.
But he's much more like subdued and laid back and like in the cut and like participating in a group conversation. You put him here. I'm like, is this an act? Like, is this a bit?
He's turned on.
He's doing like this is his like
it's not
stage.
Good.
It's what he thinks people want. I feel.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's not natural.
I don't know.
There's nothing natural.
But sometimes it's like, okay, now you're by yourself. Maybe this is who you actually are or whatever. And it's just like you put like there's your professional that you like put out in front of people with people. And now this is you by yourself and you can do whatever you want. I don't know. I think this is a bit. I think
it is too.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like it. But talk to somebody. Get a co-host and talk to them.
Well, the other thing he should do, and I think we've touched on this a few times, have some notes, have an idea of what you want to talk about and what the payoff is. His reading comprehension skills are terrible. Listen to this setup.
I was reading this story the other day about this guy. I forget what story it was, but he did something against the law and then he turned himself in.
I was reading a story about a guy who did a thing. That's on a podcast?
This is, okay, this is perfect.
What the fuck?
So this is where he loses me completely. Yeah. My number 13.
Okay.
If you kill someone and they die and they don't know who it is, you don't turn yourself in because you fucking make that become cancer in you and you die a slow death. That's what happens, man. You were selfish enough to kill somebody. You don't get to be not selfish enough to tell somebody and admit it.
Wrong.
And feel better about yourself because you absolved yourself and you started the road to, you know, whatever the fuck.
There's not a single thing correct about that.
Right.
If you're a murderer, turn yourself in. You don't, keeping it to yourself and letting it eat you alive from the inside out, that's not the punishment.
Well, that's not how psychopaths work.
Yes.
When I was on, I don't know if I mentioned this, but I was on Anthony Cumia's show.
I think I heard that.
When I was on
the
show.
I haven't been here for a while,
We were watching a video of OJ, and OJ was laughing, and he's like, hey, man, I'm a felon, and he's fucking holding court with all these people. He's loving his life.
Mm-hmm.
OJ Simpson murdered two people. Well, high on cocaine, and he couldn't be having more fun right now.
He doesn't care.
So, Chris, that scenario does not play out the way that you hope it does. Can I point out some more terrible observations?
Sure.
He throws things out there that no one can relate to.
As a matter of fact, you ever like meet two people that look like each other, and then when you're not with them, you can't think of what one of them looks like because you keep thinking of the other one?
What in the hell are you talking about?
I don't relate to that in any way. Joe, you have a twin brother. Mm-hmm. I've never once even thought you guys looked the same. Nor have I been like, I can't even picture this other guy now.
You don't start thinking of Andy when you forget what I look like?
Oh my God, I only wish Andy was here. I don't forget what he looks like. So fucking weird.
So my 14 is another absurd premise that makes no sense.
Girls love movies that take place in the 1930s or 1920s or 1910s or earlier than that, anytime earlier than that, or 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s even, and now 80s and 90s even, dude, because they love to fucking remember the time.
20th century would have been able to... You didn't have to say every decade.
So anytime.
Any
chicks like movies
time.
That are set in any time.
That's what chicks like. They like movies set in every single time possible. Let me just point out what times those are. The 1880s, the 1740s, the 1920s.
Okay.
We get it. Holy shit. We get it. You want to fill an hour.
Yeah.
Here's, you were talking about how he does live reads.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, starts the show with a live read, and he's not a good reader.
Mm-hmm.
I've already pointed out that his reading comprehension skills are poor. He doesn't know what he read or what the point of it was. But listen to him actually read out loud in real time.
It's adding features so you can only get, it's adding features you can only get from a bank. And more than a few that you can't.
Here's another example, and this is during the middle of the show when he does more live reads. Again, the dead air here is deafening.
You know what's great about eating your favorite thing? It's your favorite thing. And you're eating it. You know what's not great? Getting it. And the only fast thing that deliver are not what you're craving. Okay?
Ah! I can't fucking take it!
This podcast is unlistenable!
I have three. I don't think we have to go through all of them, but I will just... I'll say there are three. I call them... He's like king of the Segway.
Okay.
Do 10.
Jesus, am I high? I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about. Everybody tries to make something out of nothing. Dude, I was looking at Twitter at this Nicki Minaj thing.
Yeah.
Now do 11.
Okay.
Segue.
Throw up is the vehicle for the broccoli. It really takes the flavor to another level. It accents the flavor. I like Tabasco sauce, dude.
Yep. Yep.
I guess do 12, I guess.
Okay, let's do reads here. This is episode 81, dude. What are we doing? I love you guys, dude. MeUndies.
Yep. That is what this show is.
Seamless
it's just
transition. Seamless
rambling.
Transition.
Yeah, seamless. Here is more of Chris D'Elia riffing. And Chris, Write some notes down. Have something to say about what you're talking about.
No, she's not. What is she, a lunatic? What is she, a fucking... I don't... The Twitter moments are just like... It's just like... It's like Aziz Ansari bought a sandwich.
Here's one where he's cracking himself up. He's proud of this line.
Now, I'm not talking about the Lakers, the Celtics, the fucking Thundercats, or whatever the fuck these bullshit names are. Okay?
He did the snort, which showed that that was a good line. Just so you guys know, I said Lakers, Celtics, and then Thundercats, which is not an NBA team, but I find it to be a hilarious joke. At least he understands the power of threes, unlike fucking Rich Voss. It would have just been like, the Lakers, the Celtics, the Bulls, the Pelicans, the Wizards. I could talk about a lot of NBA teams, Bonnie.
Since you kind of brought that up, let do my 16.
All right.
I want to be the most me I can fucking possibly be at all times, dude. And you want to play Frisbee? Fuck out of here.
The whole premise of the show is called I'm Me,
yeah.
Right? Is the name of this episode.
Right.
The whole thing is he's proud of who he is, and he likes being him.
He should be.
Which is, yeah, this is great. It's so uninteresting in every single way. I don't understand who's listening to this show or who would enjoy this.
I checked out his Twitter.
Yeah.
And, like, the Congratulations Pod Twitter, yeah. His Twitter.
Okay.
What's
going on?
I'm like, who are the fans?
Who are these
who is
people?
Listening to this?
Yes.
And I pull up some picture, and it's a couple, and they're like, we both have our headphones in, and we press play at the exact same time so we can laugh at the same parts.
Fuck you! That sounds terrible. These people are insufferable is what you're telling me.
I'm like, great. Awesome.
Oof.
This dude is fucking corny.
I am not a fan of Chris.
You didn't give
D'Elia.
Me the charisma Rappaport at the beginning when I said I was bringing the charisma back, Carl. I was disappointed.
You're not charismatic.
Sorry.
That's what I was looking for.
You're right.
You were in intro mode.
I was in intro mode, man.
I know. I should have waited.
I have two different screens that I look at. One has the soundboard. One has my notes. Can't do both things at once. I am a single tasker.
I've got one more clip here.
Great.
17. Let's just get it out.
Good, because I feel like we've said enough about this.
Yeah.
It's like, fucking A.
Yeah.
The show was so boring.
So laughing. Me and the dude and the chick laughing so hard. So fucking hard. And then the girl goes like this. You want to play this game that me and my boyfriend play all the time? And we were like, what? And we started playing the game. The fun stopped.
I can picture that. I can picture the fun stopping.
I love that. He's like,
around Chris D'Elia.
That was funny. But like God forbid somebody else tries to bring something to the table.
Yes.
God forbid somebody else took. He reminds me of people I went to high school with who just had to be the center of attention all the time.
Oh, yeah. He makes a quick mention. I didn't clip it. He makes a quick mention about how he was always in class, yeah. Never late for school. And he goes, I was a card in the classroom. I was a cut up. I'm sure you thought you were hilarious, yeah. Just like you do today.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. You must have been insufferable.
Why would I miss school? That's my audience.
Right. Exactly.
Who am I going to perform for if I'm not at school? I'm not going to be late for the performance. You know? But I don't know. This.
You're not charismatic.
There's promise in it. 81 episodes. That's not that many. I feel like listen to One Fire.
Sure, people you're looking like at the light side, the bright side of this.
People like it.
Do they?
Don't they?
I guess. I have found through my journey of podcast critiquing that there's an audience for every fucking thing out
there.
I could record my wife snoring, which I have done before. I have it on my phone right now, and I could put that out as a podcast. Someone would like it.
Yeah.
Someone would give it a 5-star review on iTunes.
Let me fine-tune this a little bit.
Okay.
So he has an audience. He's a famous professional comedian.
Right.
He's selling out arenas. People
selling
are,
out arenas?
Theaters.
Theaters. Okay. Holy shit. I got really upset for a second.
On
there.
His way, baby.
My blood started boiling when you said it. What? Was he Kevin Hart? What the fuck?
what I'm saying is like people like it. And it's like I'm not, like he said, I'm not offended by the show. But I feel like you're not doing it to the best of your ability.
Oh, he's not
you
trying.
You have a fan base.
Right.
It's like, yes, you're just sitting in front of the camera in your workout clothes, drinking, going through your phone, talking about whatever.
Yeah.
It can be better. Like,
it should be better.
Give your audience who are there to listen to you, give them a little bit more.
Even Rich Voss is like, dude, do some prep work before you start doing a podcast. What the fuck?
I think it's there. Like I said, I wasn't going to come out here and be like, it's not funny. He's not funny.
It's not funny.
Polish it up. Polish it up.
It wasn't a fun show to listen to. It was surprisingly bad.
It was not fun to listen to. I honestly got 15 minutes in and I was looking at the counter. I'm like,
yep.
How much is left of this?
Yeah.
You know, and I wanted to like it. I did laugh at a couple of things throughout it.
You did?
Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah. I don't.
Give me one example.
You're making me so mad thing that he beats into the ground. That's one of the things that
was the stupidest story.
I know, but
I had a cousin who used to say, you're making me so mad. And then my brother's doing homework. And I was saying that my brother was getting distracted. That was the story.
The voice that he says it in was making me laugh, though. He's an earworm guy. He's an earworm guy.
Do you like the Brady Bunch by any chance? Do you think that's
no.
a funny show?
Thank you, Carl. No.
Pork chops and applesauce. Okay.
Fuck you. People like this show. Some people can like things, Carl.
What?
I had no idea.
Carl, surprise. I'm here to take you down.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Brother, we sent me to take you down.
Speaking of which, I do have a ton of things to read. The comments people left on our website after we did the Hollywood Handbook podcast. It's amazing.
That's a terrible show. I don't know who these people are.
I don't know either.
I mean, I wasn't on this show to talk about it. I listened to...
Go ahead.
It was terrible. And I was embarrassed for the Doughboys because I like that show. And to put them through that, I thought was embarrassing.
Before I get into that, we do have a new segment on our show now where we come up with alternative names for the podcast we listen to.
Yeah.
Did you do your homework on this?
No, but if I'm good...
Okay, you're ready to go on this?
Yeah, yeah.
So I've been told by Twitter to stop doing the segment. It hasn't gone over well, but I'm going to keep trying.
Okay.
We're going to keep trying this. Okay. So here are alternative titles to Congratulations with Chris D'Elia. My first one I have is Hot Takes with Stupid.
Mine is Condolences.
All right. How about this one? This American Life Should End.
How about Dead Air and Ice Cubes?
Dead Air and Ice Cubes is definitely a much better description of the show. How about One Dope?
I didn't come prepared for this. Two is my limit.
I have one more. From NPR, it's called Missing Brain. All right, let's move on. We did a show a couple weeks ago reviewing this show called Hollywood Handbook. And I went into it with an open mind. I thought it was going to be funny. It's very popular. It's on Earwolf. I like the Earwolf
I was excited because I was like, oh, Doughboys, it'll be good.
Doughboys were the guests. So I wanted to like it. I really did. And we didn't like it because what their shtick is, they do bad improv comedy on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's purposely not fun or funny.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just play you from the latest episode a couple examples of that.
That's kind of what this is. To me, it's a little bit like Hello from the Magic Tavern in a sleepaway camp, because this is where the movies go.
Yes.
So
that is this wildly popular show that everybody likes. This guy going, I got a joke. And then here's another clip. This show I was listening to from Hollywood Handbook, I'm going back because
this is a different one?
So much backlash.
Different than the one you reviewed.
Correct. This is episode 253. I'm going back because there's so much backlash. People are like, you don't get it. Everyone's telling us we didn't get the jokes and it's over our heads and we're dummies. And there's like a weird generational thing going on too, which I don't understand.
Mm.
Like millennials are saying you boomers don't understand these jokes.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Here is them setting up this hilarious premise that goes on forever of how they're going to make their vacation a lot of fun.
And we're in the Sunglass Hut at the mall, and we've all agreed and you can't say no, that we are basically going to each not be allowed to look in the mirrors, and we're going to buy a pair of sunglasses for each other, crazy ones.
Crazy for fun.
Because we're going on vacation.
Yeah.
You know, so
and you have to wear them the whole vacation. You can't look at a mirror the entire time or in the ocean.
You can't see them on your face. Obviously, you can see the glasses. We're not blindfolded or anything.
Yes.
But a lot of times, so much of it is about face shape and do the frames complement your structure. And you could be surprised when you put them on.
Yeah.
A pair that look great on the shelf or great on your friend, on you, they just don't work.
And so you can only know what it looks like when everyone gets the boy scrapbook. Then you know.
That's right.
What
when you get the
your
photos.
Sunglasses.
And we're
look
not
like.
Trying to be rude.
I get that, Carl. Face shape. You know, I would say that these guys' face shape is the shape that I'd like to punch in the fucking face.
This premise is we're going to buy ridiculous sunglasses for each other. You're not allowed to look in the mirror to see what they look like on your face. Who gives a shit? How is that possibly
it's,
fun?
It's hearts and stars. How does it look on my face shape?
I can't fucking take it.
So this is the show that is wildly popular that all these people love. Let me read you some of the comments. This is from our website. From Leah Formby, she says, "You gotta be very dim to not get that the Hollywood Handbook guys are purposely doing bad improv. That's the crux of the joke, 4 exclamation points. Also, who the fuck doesn't know who Scott Aukerman is?" Yeah, I crushed Andy for that, too. Yeah. He literally founded the biggest podcast empire.
No, you know what? Andy thinks other people don't know who Scott Aukerman is.
That's what I know. Andy exactly knows who that is. Yeah. And he thought other people know. What is this? Oh, and Stitcher Premium had to create an ads version of Hollywood Handbook because listeners were upset that the paid subscription service provides ad-free content as an incentive to sign up. People were upset when the ads were taken out. Absolutely zero listeners fast forward through Hollywood Handbook ads. It's part of the show. And this is something that Crows pointed out to me after the fact, because he was on that show. He went to their subreddit, and people were gushing about how funny their ads were. These are people who are purposely saying the dumbest thing possible that's not funny, because that's what's funny. That's the joke. In the listener's mind.
Okay. I mean, I know Harmontown, their ads are funny and worked in a lot of the time. I mean, maybe.
Catherine Bo Bathrin says, "Actually, it's nice and smart and cool and funny and being nice." Tim Root. I love Tim Root.
Actually.
Tim Root says, "I am so deeply embarrassed for you all. At least it's some comfort that your bad show will now have to shut down in shame. Because we didn't think Hollywood Handbook was funny. That's the end of WATP.
All these...
we have to shut it down."
All these people are from L.A., right?
They must be. This is like Snowflake Nation.
Yeah.
Everything about this is like, it's just fun and uplifting and everyone's having fun. We're all friends. This is like the bronies of podcast fans. This is like My Little Pony bullshit. Like, we're all just friends. Friendship is key. Let's love. Fuck you. You guys suck.
You're wasting my time.
Nick Seltz says, "The only thing these guys got right is that Cumtown is indeed funnier than WATP. Agreed. Jen Buchan says, "When someone doesn't understand a joke, they don't usually make a podcast about it and broadcast it to the world. Joke's on you, dum-dums."
Ooh.
Fucking idiots. Eric Erickson. I love this guy. He writes, "What a bunch of salty cunts in here this week. Laugh my ass off. Great work. They're purposely doing bad improv. Well, congrats to them, then. They're great at it. Not funny. Not funny." Thank you, Eric. Thank you for fucking understanding.
Here's the problem. Here's the
not funny jokes
more,
is not funny.
Is there more?
There's tons more. Go ahead.
There's no such thing as bad improv.
No.
It's like,
oh, this is improv.
You can't purposely do bad improv because it's all bad.
Matt Hall says, "I can understand not liking the show, but the satire of Handbook seems to be going over your heads entirely. It's like looking at a clown and going, why does this fool paint his face? He looks ridiculous. What's with the enormous shoes? You look absurd. No one's going to take you seriously looking like that." Matt, thank you. You're exactly right. Clowns fucking suck. There's nothing funny about clowns, and there's nothing funny about Hollywood Handbook. It's a garbage podcast for retards.
Here's the funny. If the premise of your... I don't know what I just said. Here's the problem.
Yeah.
If the premise of your show is going over my head on a one-off, if I'm coming in and listening to one show and I don't get it, that's your fucking problem.
Well, I agree with that. However, there are shows that I didn't love the first time I listened to them, and I've come around on them and understood them.
Because you didn't get the premise of it?
Come Town, I thought was ridiculous.
Okay.
And now I understand what they're doing and why it's funny. Hollywood Handbook is not Come Town. Hollywood Handbook are two idiots saying the dumbest thing possible all the time. I don't get why that's funny. Anyone can do that. Literally, I said literally again. Fuck me. Literally anyone could do that. Emerson Brenneman says, wow, listening to this was like overturning a rock. What a bunch of douchebags.
Okay.
I don't get that. Steve Davis says, the premise of the show depends on the existence of better podcasts. You guys can't even get jokes, let alone tell them.
That's bullshit, because we've done a ton of shitty, shitty, shitty podcasts.
Mark Mulder says, you lost me at nobody likes the improv thing. Might want to review that claim. I, too, remember a moment in my life when I didn't get the jewel that is Hollywood Handbook. It was a dark time in my past. Dude, if you like improv comedy, then you're like a boring person. That's a boring thing to enjoy, is improv comedy.
I know. I'm leaning into it a bit, but there are like certain improv things that I like, whatever.
Andy Daughtry
Not
says,
this.
Eh, wrong. Hollywood Handbook is actually funny, smart, nice, and cool. And being friends. It's really like fucking Brody Nation.
Wrong.
Sleep well, every pony, you fucking idiots. Let's see. Curtis Lowe says, Curtis Lowe is on our side. I won't read that. He's a good one.
Like, this is usually my favorite part of the podcast.
Yeah, right.
Where people like hate on us and are funny about it. These aren't even funny. Like their comments are terrible.
Their show isn't funny, and their listeners aren't funny.
Listeners are not funny.
Right?
Yeah, this is not even funny.
You know when a show's funny when you go into the subreddit and the people are just fucking mean.
Yeah.
And they're so mean to everyone. You're like, okay, this show is funny.
Yeah.
These people get it. These assholes are like, hey, guys, it's about being friends and fun.
Maybe give it another shot.
One of the fucking things that they talk about all the time is hot dog. There's this Nick Spanema says, hot dog, go to the bathroom. I guess that must be a reference to the show. Like, hilarious. Hot dog.
They got you.
Good one. Tom Sprout says, ew, wrong. This is very good show that's smart.
This good show smart.
Alexander Riccicchio says, what really made this funny and really, really made it super funny was all the little sound drops and clips that really accentuated how poignant these guys' comments. People can't write. It makes me bad at reading. Very good, very funny, and made a very good point. I love this. I think that was sarcasm. Anyway.
Why? Because it was a one star.
That was that. Well, these are just comments on our website.
Oh.
On the show page. If you like or dislike any specific episode that we put out, you can go on our website. We get tons of comments.
You have a hotline now, too, where
they can
call you.
There's a hotline, yeah. If you're a big fan of Hollywood Handbook and you want to tell us what douchebags
we are.
Brother
Reeves wants to call you.
Yeah, I'd be happy to play those. But let's go to the iTunes page, Joe, because we have been getting a ton of reviews lately. We are up to 304 one-star reviews. We've broken the 300
mark. Coming for you, Rap.
And I will tell you, well, we're nowhere near Rappaport. I will tell you that the Hollywood Handbook folks definitely came out in droves to shit on us. Let me just read this one from August 31st from Malone. This podcast just copies everything he did before. This show has no format and just says bro and says douche-like things all the time. They use terrible equipment and it kills the audio quality. I can't believe someone would actually put ads on this show. Thank goodness this show has that chef guy to provide some humor. Wait, that's not this show. Oh, well, screw it. I'm not going to work to put up anything else. I've already typed this much. I'm spent. Google me, damn it.
I don't even get it.
Talking about Opie. Yeah, he's talking about Opie.
He's like trying to make it like this show is like Opie's show.
Yeah, he was reviewing Opie's show on our iTunes page.
I caught it, but it's like that's terrible.
All right, Red Smith says, "Just wow, this talentless douche and whoever he has guest hosting each week brilliantly deconstruct other talentless hacks podcasts. The assessments of Corolla, Opie, Stern, and Bonnie and Rich nail what is wrong with the shows and is usually narcissism. I mean, who are these podcasts?" That's a 5-star review, calling me a talentless douche, which I love.
I was going to say, I know what I like about that is they've yeah. clearly listened to multiple episodes.
Yes. And then there's that one, Unfunny and Lazy 2. Then there's one that's...
There's a, no way. Somebody said that this show's lazy?
Yeah.
Not when I'm fucking on it.
Exactly. I pointed that out earlier. Laziness is not our problem. Although there are many problems.
Yeah.
This one says, "Carl sucks. It's Carl with a C and sucks without the K." "Carl sucks. Yes, I stopped using K's in a protest against Carl and his show. Screw him and everybody who looks like him. Down with WATP. 5 stars.
Yeah, well.
Swag 1982. This guy gets it.
Fixing the world.
This guy gets it. "What a waste of time, 1 star from Hollywood Big Shot. I really wanted to like this podcast, but the hosts are painfully unfunny. Instead of being playfully antagonistic, like how did this get made, Who Are These Podcasts comes across as petty and purposely obtuse." Ooh, it's the first time I've been called obtuse.
Mm-hmm.
That's a new one. Killustrator gave us 5 stars. Thank you. Retired Broker gave us 5 stars. Appreciate that. Not This Brett gave us 5 stars. Sorry, I'm just going through here.
They deserve a mention.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of 5-star reviews. I only focus on the 1-star. Is everything a question? The host, who I haven't invested enough time to learn his name, is always yelling a question in a surprised voice. It grinds my gears, but I can't stop listening to it. In short, 5 stars, but the host is painfully forgettable.
You are always like, what are we doing? Well, who is this?
The show is called Who Are These Podcasts? All right. Joe, we got a lot more to get through. Okay.
Oh.
That's the joke, says something something blurg. These guys are very funny and smart and nice and definitely understand comedy and aren't sad ghouls stuck in a bygone era coasting off other people's work. Who needs audio quality or funny jokes when you can just call other people retards? And that's a 1-star review.
Sometimes that's all you need.
Very bad 1-star. Not good. A bunch of foul-mouthed bullies with a painfully hacky soundboard gossiping about podcasts they don't like. Rude. Hot dog, go to bathroom. So this is obviously a Hollywood Handbook fan.
Yeah.
And I love that we're being called rude and bullies. Oh, totally agree. Mm-hmm. That is the format of the show.
Mm-hmm.
We are rude.
Yeah.
Assholes. But you can't say that our soundboard isn't good. We have the best fucking soundboard.
It just keeps getting better.
It just keeps getting better. Have you guys heard fucking Bonnie McFarlane now on the soundboard?
Ah! I can't fucking take it.
I mean, this fucking soundboard is...
All of it's bad. None of it's good.
It's also live on the fly.
I am going, yeah, you know, I was voted in high school most likely to do drops in real time. And they were right, man. My classmates nailed it. I do drops in real time. Joe can attest to it. Hit him up on Twitter. Yeah. He'll tell you.
Yeah, find me on Twitter. Good luck.
I will tell you that the soundboard has gotten so good that I'm not going to have guest hosts anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be me and the soundboard at some point. I'll just be talking to Gilbert Godfrey.
We'll put yourself in a corner on a single camera and just fucking hit drops.
All right, this one is boring. If you like unfunny, poorly informed people whining at length about things they hate, maybe you will like this.
I'm not poorly informed.
I like it. This one says, lazy edgelord garbage, 1-star.
Edgelord.
Total waste of time unless you think Joe Rogan is the height of podcasting and you really like Opie and Anthony. Turns out this bad podcast about bad podcasts is way worse than any of the shows they claim to not like.
I like that review.
That's weird. If you think Joe Rogan is the height of podcasting and you really like Opie and Anthony, Joe Rogan is the number one podcast in the world.
Yeah.
And Opie and Anthony was the funniest radio show to ever exist.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
My only complaint with Joe Rogan's podcast is that it's very long because he'll go a long time.
He does go a long time. It's tough to get through.
Yeah.
All right. So Greasy Elf Wizard from August 24 says, this show has more one-star reviews on iTunes than likes on Facebook. And that's true. That is very true. This show contributes so little to podcasting that it's actually a net negative. It's a bunch of unclever guys who pick apart other people's hard work just for the sake of being haters. The audio sounds like it was recorded on a cell phone. There was that time you called it on your cell phone. They play a Simpsons soundboard over clips of podcasts. These guys are haters, fakers, and wannabe funny men, and don't deserve any of the attention they desperately crave by trying to start beef.
It sounds like we have attention, though.
Yeah, it does.
It sounds like we have attention that we don't deserve.
They don't. We don't deserve any of this attention.
Yeah.
Here's one from YKS Fanboy that says, oof, one star. I think they're joking. Either way, punching up the show is more successful and much funnier than yours. Only works if you have some insight or talent of your own to showcase. The premise of a meta show critiquing podcasts could be funny. Most of what's happening on the shows they review go way over their heads. Note to other Gen Xers out there, stick to what you know, like writing scathing Yelp reviews or vlogging your trip to Best Buy.
I like how millennials think they invented podcasting.
I know. Well, it's funny, too. I liked that last line. Stick to what you know, writing scathing Yelp reviews or vlogging your shit to Best Buy. That's a funny line, and I appreciate that. If you're going to shit on us and you want to make fun of us, that works for you. This, what's weird to me, though, is that there is, and I hate doing the generational thing. I work with almost all millennials. I love them. I have no problem with this generation of people. Mm-hmm. But these specific people who are fans of Hollywood Handbook have grown up in this fucking world where everything is made out of soft cotton.
Yeah.
And you cannot fall and hurt yourself, and everything is fun and friendly and wee. It's so boring. These people are just boring.
Yep.
They're boring assholes.
Yep.
Oh, this is a good one. I think this is the last one I'm gonna read. This one takes the cake. From Stereo 13 says, hi, one star. This is the worst thing produced by humans since the humans that produce the hosts of this podcast. Bravo. Actually, you know, I think that actually deserves some soundboard treatment. Good choice. All right.
Being Joe, the worst at something is, you know, an accomplishment. Ask Ed Wood.
I believe that Kurt Cobain once said, I'm worst at what I do best, and for this gift I feel blessed. Is that fucking Gen Xer of me or what? I know a fucking Nirvana lyric. Holy shit. All right. Quick shout out to No Agenda, one of my favorite podcasts. They plugged our show on their most recent episode and put us on their live feed.
We have on the stream, noagendastream.com, coming up, we have Who Are These Podcasts? Which is a fun show to listen to. Deconstructing podcasts on the stream, noagendastream.com.
That's my buddy Adam Curry. We really appreciate the plug. Thanks, Adam. Thanks to John C. Dvorak. All right. I will tell you that I listened to Opie's last show. He was on with Scott Farrell, who just recently joined Westwood One.
Yeah.
I love Farrell.
Yeah.
I didn't find anything interesting from the conversation because I just like Farrell.
Yeah.
So there was really nothing worth clipping. So we're going to take a break from Opie this week.
Yeah.
Which means that it's time for
the teaser.
The teaser.
Next week's teaser.
The teaser.
The teaser.
Next week's teaser.
The teaser.
Next week's
teaser.
Joe, this is the part of the show where we play a clip from the show that we'll be reviewing on next week's WATP. Do you know why we do this?
It's like if you love Chris D'Elia and you hated this show, maybe you'll like what we do next week.
Oh, I don't expect any of Chris D'Elia's fans to be sticking around past this episode. But yes, that is the reason. We want to let you know that we're going to move on. We're not going to talk about Chris D'Elia anymore. I'm sure he's a wonderful person and all of his fans are great people. Next week, we'll be reviewing a totally different podcast. We're going in a very different direction. Here's a clip from that show.
So I go to the fucking box guy next to the A-Rab. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, in Australia. He's like, that'll be like $100. I'm like, God, fucking A, I'm not sending, I'm not doing that.
$100.
He's like, but if you go to the post office, it should be cheaper. So I look it up. All right, post office, like the flat rate, international is like $24.
Okay.
So I go there. And, you know, it's all Asians work there. Oh.
Oh, my God. Already.
You no get international.
Asian people are coming for you, Brandon. Just remember.
And it's weird. I'm standing in line. Mm-hmm. Guy behind me is like, hey, I'll tell you something, man. I went to Australia once. I went down under, if you know what I mean.
We had to start already.
So,
the thunder from down under.
You following this at all?
No, it sounds vaguely racist. Yes, tuning out. Very I'm glad racist. I'm not doing that one.
I was just watching you get bored during that 40-second clip. This show is a show called Liquor License. It's an episode number 160, Earl of Bud.
Let me guess, that's a lesbian reference.
From August 27th. No, it's about drinking.
Oh, okay.
August 27th, 2018. Joe, I had to do this show. This suggestion came in from three different listeners, Christian, Luke, and Tom. Mm. And Luke specifically, who's from Depew, New York. Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
It's home of my favorite Mighty Taco in the world. It's right off of the 90.
Yeah.
For all you local folks who know what the fuck we're talking about. So these are people who love to hate listen to this podcast. They think it's the worst show ever. Mm. And they've all written me and said, you have to review
so
Liquor
License. The room of podcasts?
Apparently, it's just the worst fucking show.
Okay.
And so this is the show we're going to listen to. People will be excited. It's the first time in a while that we're doing a very indie, you know, a show that people don't know about. It's not high
nobody
profile.
Famous. Yeah.
There's nobody famous
not
in
on
it.
A network.
We used to do this a lot. We haven't done it a lot recently. We're getting back to a show that nobody's ever heard of. It's not going to bring in any new listeners to our show. That's for fucking sure. But if it makes Luke and Christian and Tom happy, then I'm happy to do it. Joe, you should see this fucking email that I got from Luke. Yeah. Yeah, he goes into...
That's convincing. You don't even have to read that to be convinced.
I didn't. It's too much. It's too many words. I don't read that many words, but...
That's like 10 paragraphs.
It's 10 paragraphs on why I should do this show and why we should be reviewing it. Apparently, these guys are from Buffalo. They moved to L.A. to become famous whatevers, and they've failed miserably at that.
Oh.
And now they just drink a lot.
That? Oh, and the show, not the guys that suggested it.
No, the guys who suggested it still live in Buffalo. They're still hanging out in Western New York like us.
Right.
No,
gotcha.
It's these dummies who do this show, apparently, is just garbage.
Yeah, okay.
And even when I just wrote him back and said, thanks for the suggestion, he had to fucking write me back. Another 8 paragraphs. So this obviously is very important for us to get to.
Well, even if you didn't read it, they were convincing. So good job, guys.
Yes. Actually, I should point that out. We get a lot of podcast suggestions. We appreciate that. Send your suggestions, watpshow@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail or tweet. I will tell you that if you get multiple people to suggest a show, that will probably get us to pay attention to it.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a pretty good list right now of ones that we need to get to, and we will over time. But if you want to get moved up to the top, get all of your friends and family to write in and tell us what show we should be listening to next.
And I'll just plug Chris D'Elia's Follow the Leader tour, watch Alone Together,
check out
his Congratulations podcast,
and
his upcoming Netflix special.
I get it. Like, you're doing a show, you want to promote yourself, but there was nothing else going on. He read his sponsors' reads, he talked about where he's going to be and what shows he's on, and there was no content.
He's coming to Buffalo, you know. We reviewed his podcast, Carl. You don't have to keep shitting on
him. Yes, I do. That's what I do.
He's coming to Buffalo. Follow the Leader tour. Go see Chris D'Elia.
So please, everyone out there in Ponyland, join us again next week because it might be the episode where we find out once and for all, who are these podcasts? Sleep well, every pony.
Farting in the mosh pits of morning radio.
And now the show is
what is this garbage? How do they have a podcast? This is bullshit. Who fucking cares? think about it. Would this be interesting to you? Would you listen to it?
Your wife had vagina stitches in her.
You. You know, who are these
podcasts?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
Makes no sense.
Victory lap, victory lap. Carl's taking a victory lap. Listens to all the shows. Then he'll tell you why it goes. Sit back. He's taking a victory lap.
That Bonnie shit's great.
When I went to see Steve Martin and Martin Show last night, they did about 2 hours. They had a whole segment where they did other people's jokes, other comedians' jokes. And they would show the picture of the person up on the big screen and then tell their funny... Like, they had Stephen Wright.
Yeah.
They had anyone you could think of. It was all the top comedians. And they were just getting laughs from other people's jokes.
What the fuck?
Like, I could do that.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you guys ever heard of Mitch Hedberg?
Yeah.
All right. Well, he once said...
That's, I mean, I guess it's a funny bit. That's
it worked.
People you'll fill time.
Yeah, filled a lot of time. People laughed. I've never seen anything like that before.